think I got it. I got to be the sound guy and the tech guy and the computer guy. And today I'm the preaching guy, and I'm not complaining. But Sunday school. Yeah, I forgot Sunday school. Should we release the children for Sunday school? Gary's taking them down. Lord, we pray that you just bless the children, bless Gary. Give them that word that he has to speak to them, Lord. Plant on fertile young ground, young minds, Lord God. In Jesus' name. Amen. And let's pray for this service. And just bless this service, Lord God. I ask you, just give me the words to speak. I can speak them clearly. And that they would go out as well to fertile ground, Lord God. I thank you for each and every person here, Lord. Just bless them for showing up in Jesus' name. Amen. Who's excited to be here? Oh, Steve's standing up. I didn't say anything. My brother Steve. You got to leave? All right. Well, we're glad you showed up, brother Steve. Amen. We hope to see you again, Steve. It was easier for Steve to come to church when we were downtown because we were right close to where he lived. But we still get to see him occasionally. Bless you, brother. Who brought their Bibles today? I see Steve's walking out with his. We got a few in the house, yeah. To be honest with you, when I was writing this or writing notes, I used my paper Bible, but today I just brought the digital one. So who's really excited to be here? Really, really, really excited. Amen. I know I am. Not because it's Super Bowl Sunday. I don't really care. The Vikings aren't there. We don't care. New Year resolutions. We're kind of in a new year, aren't we? I mean, it's not right at the first, but we're kind of still in the beginning, a new beginning. Who's made a resolution? Anybody make a New Year's resolution? Not really. I haven't. You did? Yeah. Are you keeping to it?
Yes.
You are? Good for you. Awesome. Awesome. I know a lot of times we make resolutions, and I'm going to eat better and lose weight, and by about the fifth, it's all over and it's done, and you give up, and I'll try again next year. I'm going to read my Bible more. Those are ones we could keep, huh? I'm going to spend more time in prayer, more time speaking to God. Today I'm going to talk a little bit. I've had a few people ask what the title is or what I would say. Brittany was pushing me today, and I'm like, I don't know. Then I finally gave it to her. I said, I'm going to talk about fire, heaven's fire today. I said last week that if you're here at Wednesday, I said I was going to bring the fire. So it's kind of a big ass there. But fire's cool. I got to get a prop. I like to speak with props, so I got some. Fire is cool, isn't it? We like fire. How much cooler is the Holy Spirit fire? Here we go. All these candle stands came with the church, and we use them occasionally, but today I'm going to use one as a prop, so bear with me for just one second. Oh, I'm prepared. I'm going to call it down from heaven. I'm not that brave. I asked my wife to bring the fire. All right. There. We just need just one. Just one. So as I promised, I brought the fire. Amen. In the words of my friend Carla, when you make a point, what do you say? Ta-da. If you're up front and you hear that, that's one of my favorites. You make a good point or you say something good and all I hear over this, ta-da. So, I brought the fire, ta-da. So, my work's done, we can go, huh? See you next week, have a blessed week. All right. I'm going to let... Thank you, Jesus. Well, I like it. I don't care what you're mean. You're agreeing. If you're here Wednesday, Seth started talking on refiner's fire. Anyone here for that? He was talking about the fire of God and his refiner's fire. When I started putting his notes or his scriptures into the computer for him, I was a little afraid he was touching on my subject, but he didn't. It was actually a good primer, a good workup. Because how many know God knows what he's doing? Everybody agrees with that? We got a few different preachers here, and we don't sit down and have a meeting or talk. Actually, we pretty much just talk at church. But we don't have get in a huddle and, all right, this week you preach on this week you preach on that. We don't discuss any of that, and it just kind of goes. And it's funny how time and time and time again, we can get on the same topic, or you can work and just build on another one. You're speaking what the Lord has, He's going to give it to you. I like to speak on what He gives me. So I do, I'm a firefighter, everyone knows that. I do a lot of teaching for the fire department. And sometimes we get a lot of people that are voluntold to be in training because they have to be there. So I pretty much tell them, you'll get as much out of this class as you're willing to put into it. If you're going to sit there like a dead stump and you won't participate, that's about all you're going to get. So I'm going to throw that out. If you participate, you'll get more out of it. So feel free to throw out them amens, okay? Amen? Keep it going. I'm also not afraid of rotten fruit. If I get off subject, off task, if I'm preaching from the book of Corey, not the book of God, I'm not afraid. Throw that fruit. I'm not afraid. I don't think we'll get there. But let's get down to business. Got a few things I want to talk about. It's kind of on the same when I spoke a few weeks ago or last previous Wednesday about God's church. It's kind of on the same subject, but it's not the continuation of that. It's kind of a different. But I want to say, the fire of God not only dwells among us, but in us as well. Everybody agree with that? Ta-da. The fire of God not only dwells among us, but in us. And we're going to talk a little bit. We're going to go to Old Testament, New Testament, because there's a little difference in there. We're going to be speaking about the fire of God. Is that fire of God that birthed the church 2,000 plus years ago? His church will be sustained by the fire of God. It'll be led by the fire of God. Seth said, purified by the fire of God. Empowered by His fire. It's God's fire that we must long for. So as we kick off 2023, a new year, that's kind of my prayer for the church, is that we can experience that fire. Kind of in a whole new way. It doesn't have to be some, I said my prayer for the church is that. It doesn't have to be some big crazy prophetic word or some crazy. My prayer, my desire is that each and every one of us gets to know Him a little bit more. A lot more. Needs to experience that fire. I'm going to say we need to be intentional. Because God is speaking, but are we hearing? We need to be intentional to hear what He has to say. Because He's a very effective communicator. Sometimes He doesn't tell us what we want, but He is a very effective communicator. I know I'm not. There's times where I'm not a good communicator, but God is. I believe He wants to stir a new hunger in everyone's heart for what He has planned, what He's doing. We talk over and over about revival. We sing about it. We keep asking for about it. I think He wants to stir that hunger in us for that. A desire like no other to see it happen. Because if we desire it, He wants it. He's planning it. He's going to do it. And if we desire it and we join in with Him, join in the fire. So I think, in regards to that, church should be the most electric atmosphere you're ever going to be in. Amen. It should be the most electric atmosphere, the most excitement, the most you long to be there every week. Not because we're anything great or not because the preachers here are good or our music is good, but coming to church, any church where they're preaching the Word of God, should be the most electric atmosphere you've ever been in. Every time we gather, every time we get on our knees, we're one-on-one with God. You're meeting with the Creator. Every time you open up your Word, every time we come to church, and it don't matter if it's Sundays or Tuesdays, Bible study or youth group or what it is, we're here to meet with God. That expectation should be in the air. that sense of anticipation that I'm going to get to church and something good is going to happen. God's going to move. People are going to be touched. People are going to be healed. People are going to be just moved by that work of God. We need to just have that expectation. We just got done with Christmas, right? That leads into the new year. Christmas and... That was the best picture I found on Google Picture Search. So my best analogy I can give you, best comparison is kids before Christmas. Christmas Eve night, they know something's going to happen in the morning. My daughter, my youngest this year, she usually can't stand still, but she was dancing. She was so excited, and deep inside I'm saying, no, don't get too excited because you might be disappointed, but they know something is going to happen. This little girl knows it's Christmas morning, and oh boy, something's going to happen. She is excited. That's how we need to be looking when we come into church. They know that tomorrow morning, something great is going to happen. So we go to bed Saturday night or any night before church. We need to have that level anticipation, that level expectation, because God can do it. He's moving. He's going to do it. We need to expect it. Joshua chapter 3, there's a phrase in there that says, we're going to go Old Testament, we're going to go New Testament today, both of them. Joshua said to his people, consecrate yourself, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Joshua 3:5. He's already got it up there. He's ahead of me. So Joshua tells the people, get ready. Prepare yourselves. Because tomorrow something great is going to happen. Imagine that. How many people do you think slept that night? Would you sleep? The Lord is going to do something great among us. It says, right, it will do wonders among you. Think how amazing that would be. Roll into church every time. Roll into any prayer meeting any time. Just come with the expectant of knowing. I got an appointment in the morning, and I'm going to meet with the King of Kings. I'm going to meet with the Creator, the very one that made the heavens and the earth. I'm going to spend some time in prayer the night before. I'm going to get up early. I'm going to pray. I'm going to be intentional. How many people get up early in the morning to pray? I know I do. Do you wake up and lay in bed and say a few prayers there and then get on your way, or do you go somewhere? Do you go to your, anyone got a prayer closet? Somewhere where they go to pray? I tell you what, it makes a big difference. And we can pray all the time. We can pray all day 24/7, but when we go and we make time, or we separate from our routines, or we get on our knees, that's a sacrifice, and God responds to that. I know I'm here early. I was here just after 7. I got off of work at 7, and I was here by about 7:15. But that's because I got stuff to do, but I also be sure to take some time to spend some time alone and in prayer. My wife always says, why do you got to be so early? 3 hours. Why do you got to be so early? It's nice. I tell you what, you come in the church in the morning and it's quiet and no one's here, and it's hard to beat Dad here because he's pretty early, but it's nice to spend a little time. The sunlight this morning was coming through the front windows there, and it was shining right down the aisle. And when we take time to separate and just come expecting, come anticipating, just knowing that God's waiting there for you, when I open them doors, that's pretty cool. That's my prayer for the church. Every time you go to pray, every time you go to church, go to bed before church, that you wake up expecting and anticipating what God's going to do. We used to do camp meetings years ago. We haven't done them in a little while, and people are bugging to do them again. There's a picture of one. Gospel tent meetings. Anyone ever been to the old, good old-fashioned tent meetings? We did hundreds and hundreds of them forever. Everybody wants them. Even now, everyone's asking, you need to have camp meetings again. You got to do that again. I've heard him described quite a few times as life-changing. Things change. God moves. I want to say, and you might disagree with me a little bit, but tent meetings aren't any more powerful than church. A revival retreat or a conference, they're not any more powerful than church. God's not up in heaven saying, tent meetings, that's where I do my best work. I really like to move in tent meetings. Or I really like to move at a revival. I don't think that's the way he rolls. What's the difference then? Expectation. We show up at those tent meetings, we show up at a revival, and we're expecting something to happen. We're coming prepared. We're excited. We're waiting. We're anticipating. We're letting go of our agendas. We're changing our routine. We're coming to meet with God. We can have that same level of anticipation at church. At any church, at any prayer meeting, at any Bible study, because God is going to move. Are we on board with it? Put aside our agendas, put aside our routines, and say, here I am, Lord. Fill me up. One reason I believe God speaks to us is he wants us to partner with him. He's going to do it. He's going to bring revival. He's going to do it. But he's asking us to be part of it. Do you want to partner with me? Do you want to join in with me and help me? Because he's going to tell you what he wants to do, what he desires to do, what's going to come along. Are you going to join in? Are you going to partner with? We said earlier we need to talk about be clear. Clarity in our words. I know a lot of times at home we're eating dinner, and if I need something, I might just point to it. I want my cup of milk is empty, and the jug is down by my wife, and a lot of times I just point. She knows me. She knows what I want. If I try that same move at work, it usually doesn't go so well. We're at work with 12 guys. We all eat at a table, and they know me pretty good because I've worked with them for a lot of years, but one guy's told me a few times, he's like, use your words. You got words. And I'm like, nah. I'm not the best communicator. God is a good communicator. We need to use our words, talk to him. We need to use our ears and listen to him. I believe God wants to put a fresh fire in his people. Amen? Anybody on board for that? We prayed about revival and tongues of fire and all kinds of things today where we sang about it. We need to do more than just sing about it. So fire throughout the Old and New Testament, it's symbolic. We talked about it last Wednesday with Seth purifying. See the concept of fire of God in many different ways, both old and new. One of the ways we see it predominantly in the fire is connected to the presence of God. Amen? Presence of God in their midst. The Israelites were led by a pillar of fire. I think I threw a slide in there. Led by a pillar of fire at night and a cloud by day. The fire that came and consumed the burning bush. Fire that came from heaven and lit the altars and lit the tabernacle of Moses. Fire is very symbolic. Church was birthed in the fire of God. Leviticus, we'll read a story here a little bit. In the Old Testament, they had a priority. They were mandated to keep that fire lit. There was an altar was made, and fire came from heaven and lit that altar on fire. So it's important to understand that this was not earthly fire. It wasn't just Corey lighting a match and putting a match to that candle. This was fire from heaven, and it lit that altar. They were given the mandate to never let it die. You got to sustain that fire. Isn't that symbolic? You got to sustain that fire. You got to keep it alive. Top priority and focus, number one, above all else, keep that altar burning. Keep it lit. Got to make sure that fire continues to burn. Let's read it. Let's go there. Leviticus 6 and 12. The fire on the altar shall be kept burning on it. It shall not go out, but the priest shall burn wood on it every morning, and he shall lay out the burnt offering on it and offer up in smoke the fat portions of the peace offerings on it. We're Old Testament fire here, where they're offering up burnt offerings. They're in the Old Testament. Fire shall be kept burning continually on the altar. It is not to go out. It is not to go out. The picture is this. The fire of God came down from heaven, was in their midst, and it couldn't be neglected. It couldn't be pushed aside. It couldn't be, oh, I don't have time for it today. I'm sorry, God, I was just really busy today. I didn't get to sustain the fire. Sorry, God, I was busy. I had work, and then I had to bring the kids to hockey, and I didn't have time to pray today. We can't neglect that fire. That fire is signifying the presence of God among them. God's saying it needs to take priority. We kind of have a little bit of that same at our house. We got an outdoor wood stove. We've had that fire burning for 22 years or so, mostly. We don't let it go out. It goes out, our house gets cold. Cassette and Kirsten got the same thing. Swartouts like to burn wood. We all got wood stoves. And we're all committed to a whole new level of, it heats my hot water too. So if I don't have a fire, I have to take a cold shower. So in the middle of summer, when it's 90 degrees out in July, I got to have a fire to make sure I have hot water. We are committed to that wood stove. And it's committed to us because it's done a good job for years. So I'm going to pray and bless it, and it's going to keep going because they're expensive. Same as this. God's saying, keep that fire burning no matter what. And they were, the Israelites, they were nomads. They moved. They didn't just sit in their place and sustain a fire. They traveled about. They moved. Think of that level of commitment's inconvenience. I think there were over a million people that picked up and moved, followed the pillar of fire. They had a copper bowl that they'd put on top of it to keep that burning. God says, I don't care if it inconveniences you. I don't care if you got something else to do. That fire needs to stay lit. Anybody see where I'm going with this? Fire in our lives? New Testament fire is just as important. But the big shift here is the New Testament fire, God shifts the fire from among the people to in the people. Resting on and in the people. Presence of God that was in the midst of the Israelites was among them. Shifts and doesn't just dwell among them, but now is in his people. He's going to dwell in his people through what? Holy Spirit. Amen. A fire through the Holy Spirit is going to lead them. Fire is going to sanctify you. Fire of the Holy Spirit is going to empower you, fill you, purify you. That's some cool stuff. John prophesied about it. People were wondering if John the Baptist, if he was the Messiah. He was doing some stuff, some miracles and things, and people were wondering if he was the Messiah. And John didn't want that. He wanted to make sure it was clear, make sure that they knew that he wasn't the Messiah, that he was John the Baptist. And he answered to them all, and he said, Luke chapter 3 and 16. As for me, I baptize you with water, but one is coming who is mightier than I, and I am not fit to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And fire. Amen. We're talking New Testament fire now. Baptized by fire. John's saying, here is the Messiah. He's coming, and this is what he's going to do. He's not just going to baptize you with water. He's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Acts chapter 2, 1 and 4, 1 through 4. John the Baptist prophesied it. Jesus sent the Holy Spirit, said, I'm going to send you a helper. It's the same church we're talking about that was birthed 2,000 years ago in that upper room. That same fire, birthing a God's church. Acts 2, when the day of the Pentecost had come and they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues of fire. We sang that in the song today. Distributed themselves, and they rested on each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterance. That's cool. Fire of God doesn't just dwell among the people, but it dwells in them. The power of the Holy Spirit. Church of Jesus Christ was birthed in fire, sustained in fire, led by fire, purified by fire, empowered by fire. But you know, it's that fire we need to long for. It's that fire we need to seek after. It's that fire that needs to be the priority in our lives. We need that fire in our midst, in our presence, above all else. It says, the Holy Spirit, our attention is on you. I'm longing. Anybody ever feel like they need a fresh fire? A little more extra fire? Double helping of fire? Fire of God would come and awaken us. Anyone ever seen anyone where they've gone through a phase where they were just described as on fire for Jesus? Anybody ever been there? On fire? Whoo, he's a holy roller. He is on fire. Ah, ta-da, that is a good thing. That is a good thing. Ta-da. On fire for Jesus. I pray we have a whole church of people just like that. Everyone knows I'm a firefighter. Been doing it for way too long. I don't even want to tell because I'm older than it makes me old. I've worked here in Duluth. I've worked elsewhere. I do it on the side job, and we're considered some of the top in the nation. We'll go all over the states and put out coal fires, and I do all kinds of different stuff with fire. So who knows, to be a firefighter, you truly got to like a fire a little bit. To truly understand fire, you got to like it. You got to not just be afraid of it, but you got to understand it. My daughter's in the back, which she brought friends, which we didn't make them stand up because they're here for the first time, but I'm proud she brought a couple friends. Hope they're enjoying it. But she's becoming a firefighter in Two Arbors now, so, and is as well as Ethan is eventually. But I'm going to talk about fire for just a little bit. Need three elements to make up fire, right? Oh, he's putting pictures of me up there. I forgot about that. I got too busy talking. Just a couple of pictures to qualify who I am. I'm the one on the right as the instructor, and those are some students, and we're basically telling them about fire, how it grows up, hits the ceiling. These are some older pictures. That fire is when I actually burnt our old house. We made a new house, built a new house, and then I got to burn my old house. So it's nothing cooler than going in your bedroom and getting to light the house on fire and not get in trouble for it. Through instructing, I've burnt well over 150 houses. And it's cool to go into a building and look at it and think, okay, I want this wall to come and plan it and how you want it, and then to do it. And then when you're done and you let them go, they end up looking like that. I'm the one in the middle. Hard to see, but I'm the one in the middle. So anyway, there's my qualifications as a firefighter. Next slide. Fire takes three elements: oxygen, fuel, and heat. We remove any one of those elements, fire's going to go out. Everybody knows that, right? We need something to burn. I got the candle wick. Need oxygen in the air around us. And then I need heat. Anyone do that experiment in school where you take the mason jar and you cover it up? This is the whole purpose for my little prop here today. Make sure it's covered up good. Hopefully it doesn't make a liar of me. I practiced it a few times, but the seal wasn't perfect. Oh, there it's going. It's using up that oxygen. Poof. It's all gone. My prayer for the church is that we don't take that fire and cover it up. A lot of times we'll see someone who's struggling and saying, I haven't heard from God. I'm struggling. I don't know what's going on. but yet they've got their fire covered up with a mason jar, and it's stuffed off in a corner somewhere over there, and they're not paying attention to it. Tiny little birthday candle, tiny little flame, and they're not sustaining that fire. We need to give that fire some room. We need to give that fire some oxygen. In the back room, I have an oxygen tank, and I was going to come out here and light it up, and I'm going to spare you guys that, because you put that oxygen directly on there, and that fire goes crazy. That fire goes crazy. We need to provide our fire some fuel. We need to provide it some oxygen, some space to burn, some space to live. We can't expect to cover our fire up with that mason jar and expect God to move. It doesn't work that way. We get rid of the three elements. It's not going to work. You need to get to church. You need to get some oxygen on that fire. If you're struggling, you need to get on your knees. Get some prayer into that fire. You need to come to some more services. You need to cultivate that fire. Claire went downstairs for Sunday school, my little redhead daughter, for those that don't know her. She's helped start fires in the wood stove or keep them going forever. She loves fires. A couple years ago, we were camping, and she wanted to start the campfire, so yeah, have at it. I'm not afraid or worried about her. She just goes and does it. And she gathers a little bit of sticks, and she's got this little tiny fire going, and she's got more stuff ready for it, and she's talking to it. You can do it, little fire. You can do it. Just breathe, fire. Just breathe. You can do it. And I'm sitting on the lawn chair in the back looking, ooh, red flags. Or the firefighter me is thinking, this girl might be a problem in the future. She's talking to the fire. She's cultivating that fire. She's telling it to breathe a little bit. We need to do that with our lives. With Christ in our lives, with his fire in our lives. Our lives presented upon the altar is the fuel that God responds to. I think I made a slide for that. Next slide. Is there one there? Oh, yeah, there it is. I thought it was important, so I put it up there. I wanted to leave it up there so you could see it. Our lives presented upon the altar is the fuel that God responds to. Anybody agree with that? We lay our lives down. He sees that as a sacrifice. He's going to respond to that. Go to Romans 12. Paul's talking to the church in Rome here. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as what? A living and holy sacrifice, acceptable. Some translations say pleasing. Acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. God needs to find our lives acceptable. They need to be a pleasing sacrifice to him. Because not all sacrifices are good. We can do things that aren't pleasing. He's not going to respond to that. But we need to lay our lives down on that altar. He desires that more than anything, that we were to do that. That's your true form of worship. That's your proper worship. By laying our lives down, that's us surrendering. I'll show it in Chronicles, but God responds to offerings on the altar, responds to sacrifices. Anybody get caught up in worship and you like it and enjoy it? Amen. I know I do. I could sit up and play guitar and sing forever. But it isn't the singing or the playing or the Paul playing a really tasty lick on the guitar. Sorry, Paul. He's better. He's way good. That's not what moves you. The music could be professionals. You could be the best there is. Or you could be nobodies that aren't any good. That's not what moves God. It's our sacrifice to him. So when we bring that sacrifice, we surrender to him. Is he finding that acceptable? I know if you've never, ever raised your hands in church during worship, I'll tell you, you're missing out. Some people say, oh, that's not me. I'm just quiet. I worship on the inside. Raising your hands, that's a sacrifice. Surrendering my agenda, my shyness, my whatever. Saying, I don't care. I'm giving it all to Jesus. God's going to respond to that. If you want heaven's fire in your life, surrender a little bit. Sacrifice a little bit. Come expecting. Come anticipating. Every move of God we've ever read about, every you've ever heard about, is connected to what? Somebody or some group of people that was on fire for God. Revival comes from someone that is on fire, is led by someone that's on fire, that's just surrendering all to go and do. Laying down their reputation, their inconvenience, their agendas. Someone that's fully committed, fully in. I said I was going to go to Chronicles. Let's go there. Next verse. 1 Chronicles 21 and 26. Then David built an altar to the Lord there and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. We're back in the Old Testament again. And he called to the Lord, and he answered him with fire from heaven on the altar of burnt offerings. Answered him from heaven. That's cool. David came like Elijah, came to Mount Carmel, laid out the offering, laid it all down, and the Lord responded with fire from heaven. His answer to David's surrender was fire. David's son Solomon experienced kind of the same thing. 2 Chronicles 7. He knows the stories. He's seen them happen. He's seen them happen to his dad. Had the same experiences. My prayer is that my kids, or even if you see the church as a whole, Thingamish will experience that same fire. You can't expect your kids to experience it if you're not willing to put yourself there first. I can't want my kids to be on fire for God if I'm not willing to surrender. Got to put yourself there first. 2 Chronicles 7 and 1. Now when Solomon had finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices. And what? The glory of the Lord filled the house. The glory of the Lord filled the house. When we surrender, we lay it down, God's going to respond, and the glory of the Lord's going to fill the house. Look at that upper room we talked about. There were the tongues of fire. They were all gathered in the upper room. Basically, they were there. The three elements, they had the fuel, they had the oxygen. God provided the heat. The upper room was just a bunch of people that got together, came expecting, gave it some space, gave it some room to work, and God responded. He sent the fire. That's my prayer for the church. So we'll be intentional, that we won't bottle them up, that we'll just come with expectation. On fire, because I tell you what, if I were to light this up again, and then I took this one candle out, I can relight this one. And then I can light this one. And then that fire, I could hand it to you. And that one little candle could light every candle in the whole city if we took the time to pass it around. And then, like some of those fire pictures at the end, those usually start with one little match. And then at the end of them, when they grow and they burn and they've got space and they've got oxygen, you go back to that one fire where the whole house was burning. That could be our city. The whole city could be on fire for God. We need to not bottle them up. So that's my prayer for this new year, is that we would come expecting, come anticipating, willing to surrender, willing to lay down, willing to encourage someone else. Maybe someone else's fire is dim and they just need a little help. I want to be a sacrifice, living sacrifice. Amen? So that's my prayer today. Lord, I just thank you for this day, Lord. And I give you all the thanks and the glory, honor, and praise in this place here today, Lord God. We just thank you for your responding with fire, Lord God. Your living, breathing fire and the Holy Spirit that just comes down, Lord, consumes us, Lord. Just partners, Lord God, the helper. I just thank you for that, Lord. And I ask that you just breathe that fire on this church, Lord God, on our city, Lord. All the believers in the city, Lord, in the country, that we just learn to lay down, Lord God. Learn to surrender it all. Because without that surrender, without that willingness to put my agenda aside, Lord God, that's not a pleasing sacrifice, Lord. I ask that you just make that clear, Lord God. Just help each and every person just lay down that, be willing to sacrifice, Lord God, for your glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, that's what I got there today. Now with that, go start some fires. Just like the upper room. Amen.